Good morning, everyone. So today we will discuss samatha and vipassana. You already got a sheet, huh? Cannot hear me. Samatha and vipassana. I already email you the sheet. You might have read it. Huh? This samatha and vipassana both are very important in the pursuit of the Dhamma. And when you finish reading these articles, you should have the understanding. One cannot have only one samatha or vipassana. We must practice both. And this is suggested in this article, Anguttara Nikaya number 4 by the Lord Buddha. So let us see this sutta. Monks, these four types of individuals are to be found existing in world. Which four? There is the case of the individual who has attained internal tranquility of awareness. Another meaning, concentration. But no insight into phenomena through heightened discernment. Then there is the case of the individual who has attained insight into phenomena through heightened discernment, but not internal tranquility of awareness. And then there is the case of the individual who has attained both internal tranquility of awareness and insight into phenomena through heightened discernment. So they are the individual who has attained internal tranquility of awareness but no insight into phenomena through heightened discernment should approach an individual who has attained insight into phenomena through heightened discernment and ask him, how should fabrications be regarded? How should they be investigated? How should they be seen with insight? So here Buddha mentioned the four types of individual. One has concentration but no insight. Another one has insight but no concentration. And the third one has no concentration, neither has concentration nor insight. And the fourth one has both insight and concentration. Now, for a person who has concentration but no insight, this person should approach another one who has insight and ask him this question: how should fabrications be regarded? What is this fabrication? In Pali, it's called sankhara. Sankhara. What is the meaning of sankhara? Sankhara means those dharma produced by cause. Those dharma which have nature of arising and passing away. Those dhamma, they have the nature of suffering, oppression, dissatisfaction. And those dhamma, they have nature of non-self. All these are called sankhara dharma. So, how should this fabrication be regarded? How should they be investigated? And how should they be seen with insight? These three are a very important question if you want to practice vipassana. The question Buddha posed is so precise. It tells you very directly when you want to practice vipassana, how should you practice? All the answers are already included in these questions. So first, let us study first what is fabrication. Only when we understand what is the meaning of fabrication, then we know how to contemplate. So this fabrication are the object of our contemplation. So we must thoroughly understand them first before we investigate or contemplate them as impermanence, suffering, and non-self. Right? Okay, then what is this fabrication? And Buddha in Majjhima Nikaya 146, he said that this fabrication or Dhamma should be fully comprehended. And what are these fabrications? Five clinging aggregates are the answer. What are the five clinging aggregates? Number one, materiality of form, aggregate. Number two, feeling aggregate. Number three, perception aggregate. And number four, formation or fabrication itself, fabrications aggregate. And number fifth, last one, consciousness aggregate. So these five, Buddha said, these five are the objects of our clinging. And they are the truth of suffering. In accordance to the Four Noble Truths, what is the Noble Truth of suffering? The five aggregates of clinging are the noble truth of suffering. And Buddha say another important sentence is, these five aggregates of clinging must be thoroughly understood. So in order to understand well these five clinging aggregates, we must study them fully, in order to understand why they are the truth of suffering. Okay, now let us investigate number one first. Form aggregate. What is form aggregate? Why Buddha didn't mention only form? Instead, he said form aggregate. What is the difference? Form and form aggregate. What's the difference?
The difference between
form and form aggregates. Okay, form is form itself. But if he say, Buddha say form aggregates means it refers to 11 categories. Pleasant form. We have past form. We have future form. As long as we are still alive, we have future form. Then we have internal form, ourself, and external form. Your spouse, your family members. And we have gross types of form. And we have subtle types of form, already seven. Then we have superior form. When you when your mind enter into deep concentration, your form is called superior form. And we have inferior form if we engage in sensual pleasures. At that moment, our form is inferior form. And we have near form, we have far form. Near form refer to like water element. Water element is very difficult to discern, so it's considered near far form, difficult to discern. And we have near form, like our earth element. These are very easy to discern, fire elements. So we have subtle form and gross form. So all 11. I repeat: pleasant, past, future, internal form, external, near, far, superior, inferior, gross, and subtle. Water element is considered subtle form because it's very difficult to discern. Other like eye, ear, nose are called gross form because easy to discern. So we have 11 types of form. And this 11 type, we call it form aggregates. So in fact, when we practice vipassana, we do not only discern present form. We also discern external form, not like your family members, your spouse, your beloved son and daughter. Why? Why the vipassana is not limited to discern one's own form, but we have to extend our knowledge to the external form? Why?
Because there's no difference.
What is the difference?
There is no difference between
external. There isn't different, or there is.
It's not
different.
Right.
If it's not different, we discern one enough. Why should we discern both? Because it is different. Yes, very good. Because we have a lot of attachment to external form as well. Do you love your wife? Of course. So we have attachment to external form. Our parents, our son and daughter, our spouse. Any attachment, attachment is the truth of, is the origin of suffering. So when we practice vipassana, we have to let go the attachment to our own body, what we call form, as well as the attachment to another form, external form, external body. So please bear in mind, vipassana is not concerning only discern one's own mind and body, but we also discern external mind and body. So if you study Mahasatipatthana Sutta, Buddha say, one discern internally and externally. And Buddha say again, one discern internally as well as externally, the nature of arising and passing away. This very strong, clearly stated in the four foundations of mindfulness. Any practice of vipassana cannot left out this four foundation of mindfulness. And in the four foundation of mindfulness, Buddha stated very clearly, internal and external. But nowadays, many teachers only emphasize internal. Very few teachers emphasize external, which is not accord with what Buddha say. And the reason why, I think most people don't know how to comprehend external. It's not because they don't want, but they don't know how to contemplate external. Okay, now we come Now come back to what is form. Form is composed by four elements. So four elements is also very important subject because it is one of the clinging aggregate. So what are the four elements? Number one, earth element. Number two, water element. Number three, fire element. Number four, wind element. Pathavi Dhatu, Apo Dhatu, Tejo Dhatu, and Vayo Dhatu. And in Pali, it's called Dhatu. Why? Because it bears, it carries its own intrinsic nature. It carries, it bears its own characteristic. That's why it's called Dhatu in Pali. Pathavi Dhatu, earth element. So earth, when you see the great earth, what is the intrinsic nature of the great earth? Hardness. The moment you see the earth, you feel hard. So, earth element carries its intrinsic nature of hardness and roughness, both. So, earth element does not refer to earth itself, but the intrinsic nature the earth carries. So if we discern our body, whatever part, from top of the head down to the sole, whatever parts you feel hard, rough, is earth element. For example, you touch your hair, you feel rough. So roughness, hair has earth element, roughness is as earth element. Whatever part you feel, you should feel the hardness, roughness, softness, smoothness, hardness, heaviness, and lightness. These six are the characteristic or intrinsic nature or properties of earth element. So if you feel hard on your bone, it's earth element. Bone is only conventional truth. Earth element inside the bone is ultimate truth. Okay, so please bear in mind the six characteristics of earth element. And this earth element serves as foundation or the base for the remaining three elements. Without earth element, the remaining three elements of water, fire, and wind cannot stand. The second element is water element. Water element has a characteristic of flowing. So in your body, you can see your tears are flowing, your saliva flowing, your blood flowing, urine also flowing. So all whatever in the body has nature of flowing is considered water element. So it's quite easy to discern in this case. So if you think of your tears, you feel the flowing. When you think of saliva, you feel the flowing. When you think of blood, you feel the flowing. Okay. And another characteristic or function of water element is cohesion. This cohesion is very important factor in the body. The organs inside our body can held together. Why? Because of cohesion. And this cohesion is the function of water element. Without this cohesive nature that cohere our body, our organs will disperse or scattering away without this water element to bind together all the organs in the body. So whenever during meditation, if you feel the tightness and the binding force in the body is considered water element. This binding force is very unpleasant one. We call unpleasant feeling. So when you discern the binding force, the body feels so tight and not relaxed at all, you should mentally or you should understand it as water element. Don't think it as unpleasant feeling. If you think it's my unpleasant feeling, your meditation is really very unpleasant. But if you think it's water element is working on its own, then you can look at this water element in a dispassionate way. Then you can sit longer. So the attitude, the understanding you have towards what is happening in the body is very important to let you sit long and yet develop insight knowledge. Not only suffering of unpleasant feeling without gaining any insight. Okay? So treat all this unpleasant feeling as one of the characteristics of the four elements. Then you will understand, your insight will grow. Your understanding of the Dharma, of the truth will grow. Okay. So, water element. Number third. Pathavi Apo Tejo, fire element. Fire element has maturing or heat as is characteristic. Inside our body, the fire element helps us to digest the food. The food cannot digest by itself without fire element. So those who have not enough digestive fire in the body, he constantly will have indigestion. And those who have very strong digestive fire feel hungry very often. And those who have strong fire element in the body, because fire element has maturing as characteristic. So those who have very strong fire element in the body, the hair turn white very fast. The skin wrinkle very fast. This because the fire is burning in his body all the time. So he become mature very fast. All the things, all the organs in the body and the hair mature very fast. And although heat is the characteristic of fire element, cold is also the characteristic of fire element. But cold and heat is relatively. Both cannot exist at the same time. When you don't feel so hot, it's cold. When you feel so cold, when you feel cold, it's no heat. It's relative only. Don't try to look too at one spot. Don't try to look both together. You cannot find both together. Only one less, one more. So this fire element It's also very important in the body, to keep us alive. Without fire element, we will pass away, we will die. And number four, wind element. Wind element has nature of movement, pushing, vibration, supporting. Our body can sit erect, straight, because there is supporting force. This supporting force is called wind element. Without supporting force, we will collapse. And also, our breath, we can breathe in, breathe out. It's the wind element move in and out. And our heart pump beat very rhythmically because of wind element. And we can swallow something also because wind element push the food downward. So wind element also has characteristic of pushing. Pushing and supporting. So if a person want to discern four elements in the body from top of the head down to the soul, he only see elements. So all 12 characteristics, he only see one or two or three or four of this element operating in the body, nothing else. And when one discern, in order to comprehend these four elements, to understand the body is composed of four elements, you have to discern the whole body from top of the head down to the soul, again and again, repeatedly. So when you scan your body, whatever hardness you feel, you contemplate it as earth element. Whatever flowing you feel, you contemplate it as water element. And whatever heat or cold you feel, you contemplate it as fire element. And whatever supporting force or pushing or movement inside the body, then you recognize it as wind element. So from top of the head down to the soul, again and again you discern four elements, one by one. As you keep on going, as you keep on discerning the four elements, then you will see the four elements changing all the time. The hardness, maybe on the shoulder. Then the second time when you scan the body from top of the head down to the soul, that hardness may already disappear and change to heat. Then the second time, the third time you scan, then the heat already disappear, may change to another type of element, maybe roughness, maybe cohesion, or maybe flowing and so on. So when you discern the four elements in the body, you can see the constant change of the four elements. What is the meaning of constant change? Impermanence. Constant change means impermanent. Then you can understand the four elements in the body is impermanent. This is how you should regard form as fabrication, as one of the clinging aggregate. Okay, and as you see the impermanent nature of the four elements, and when the concentration and insight become sharp, and the four elements appear very fast, you don't have time to say, this fire element, water element, fire. No, it just appear very fast, very, very fast. Almost like by itself, appear. appear and arising, passing away very, very fast. And at that time, your insight becomes more keen, and you understand better what is this impermanent nature of the body. And as you see the elements arising and passing away, you also have the sense of oppression, being oppressed by these four elements. And the operating, the working of the four elements in the body is beyond your control. So you feel the oppressive nature of the four elements, you feel the oppressive nature of constant arising and passing away. Being oppressed by constant arising and passing away is suffering. This is what Buddha meant suffering in ultimate sense. Bodily suffering is very gross. Everybody has this bodily suffering. So we cannot say, oh, you experience suffering in the body, you already got the inside knowledge. We cannot say that. Everybody experience this bodily suffering. Whether you are Muslim, Christian, you are Jewish, or you are American or Chinese, all when you have the body, you have this bodily suffering. But this type of suffering is not called insight knowledge in Vipassana. Then what is this suffering considered as insight knowledge in Vipassana? Only when you see the fast arising and passing away, we call anicca, anicca, and you feel the repeated being oppressed by repeated arising and passing away, and you feel a sense of insecure, a sense of dissatisfactory, a sense of oppression, and this type of insight is called real insight knowledge. So if you do not yet reach that stage, the suffering you experience in your life is not considered, or in your life or in your body or in your mind, is not considered real insight knowledge in the teaching of the Buddha. It's only one type of suffering inherent in the body only. That unpleasant bodily feeling, that pain, is already inherent when you have this body. So this is how the form aggregate should be regarded. And how should they be investigated? Let's say form, they should be investigated according to the four elements, not a self. And this four element has impersonal nature, not a self. And how this form should be seen with insight? This form should be seen with insight as impermanence, deteriorating, dissolution, and should be seen with insight as oppression, insecure, as a cancer. And it should be seen with insight as alien, because it cannot be controlled. It's very strange. You are not familiar with it. So by a stranger, alien, and empty, not a permanent self. So this is how the form aggregate should be regarded, should be investigated, and should be seen with insight. Next one, we come to feeling aggregate, feeling, vedana khanda. What is this feeling? Feeling is just a mental factor that can experience, that can experiences desirable aspect of the object or undesirable aspect of the object. Each object, we have six types of object. What are the six? Visible object, sound, smell, taste, tangible, and mental object. So each object has its desirable aspect or undesirable aspect. For example, food has its desirable aspect. Feces has undesirable aspect. Praise is very desirable. Abuse is very undesirable. Sweet song may be desirable, but the loud song may not be desirable. So each object has its own desirable and undesirable aspect. And feeling can feel the desirable aspect of these six objects. When feeling feels the desirable aspect of the object, it is called pleasant feeling. And when the feeling feels the undesirable aspect, for example, abusive sound, then this type of feeling is called unpleasant feeling. And some of the object has neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And there's another type of feeling can feel this type of neither pleasant nor unpleasant nature of the object. And this type of feeling is called neither unpleasant nor pleasant. So we have three types of feelings: pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neither unpleasant nor pleasant feeling. As a Vipassana meditator, if you cannot understand feeling, you miss the opportunity to comprehend the feeling, which is very easy to comprehend. Feeling is with us all the time. Feeling is universal mental factor. It must be there all the time. And it's also very easy to discern because it's very gross. Unpleasant feeling is very gross. Pleasant feeling is also very gross. When you feel very happy, you have very pleasant feeling, it's very easy to discern. Except the neither unpleasant nor pleasant, it's very subtle. Pleasant feeling and unpleasant feeling are the object of your observation if you are a Vipassana meditator. Let me ask you a question. If you have feeling, let's say happy feeling, arisen in your mind at this moment, and you are not mindful of it, you do not contemplate it, what will happen to you? I think you all experience this all the time. Let's say you miss to contemplate that pleasant feeling, what will happen to you? Louder?
Might wish for it to stay.
Okay, this is called craving, right? So if you have pleasant feeling and yet you forget to contemplate it, then you hope that feeling to stay. This is called craving. So pleasant feeling activate craving. And craving, depend on the craving, clinging arises. Clinging is intense craving. When there's intense craving, the mind becomes tormented. The mind loses its peace because you want it. You want to get it. Without getting it, you are not at peace. So in order to get it, what should you do? in order to get it, because now pleasant feeling has already activated the craving. Now your mind is obsessed with craving, with greed, becomes so intense that you want to satisfy, you want to satiate your craving. What should you do? What will you do? You are going to get it. You are going to get it. And you are going to get it. This is called karma in the Buddha's teaching. This is called karma. And each karma, when the karma is performed, each karma, whether it's good or bad, it leaves behind karmic potency or karmic tendency. And this tendency lie in our mental stream. When time ripens, this potentiality or tendency will bear its fruit. We call resultant. Cause and effect. We call resultant is the effect. And at that time, we got to pay for our karma, which we have performed previously. And also, when every time when the unpleasant feeling activates the craving, and we act upon that craving, as time goes on, it becomes our second nature. And we become a greed temperament person. We become a greedy person because of accumulated habit. And gradually, it shapes our character, it shapes our personality. So our character and personality, in fact, is shaped by long accumulated habit. So as a practitioner of Buddha, we want to break our habit, because this habit will carry on again and again endlessly. And every time when we react with greed, we hurt ourselves. And sometimes we hurt the other party. So we have both sides. What is the meaning? If we live in this world, is to hurt other people. So it's very important to break this, we call habitual reaction of the mind, by way of mindfulness and wisdom. So come back to feeling. So if we have pleasant feeling and we are not aware of it, it activates not only craving, as you say, craving, it also strengthens another defilement. What is that?
Aversion?
Not aversion. Let's say, yes.
Self.
Yes. Sense of self. Right, very good. Sense of self. You will identify that pleasant feeling as I. I feel good. I. So you strengthen the identity view. We call Sakkaya Ditthi in Pali. Personal Ditthi, personality view. So the moment you are not mindful when there is pleasant feeling arising in you, there are two consequences. Number one, you activate craving. And because of craving, you perform karma. Maybe you hurt yourself and you hurt another person. Number two, you strengthen the sense of self again. And as we understand, in order to become a noble person, the first stage of sainthood, now to become a stream enterer, we have to give up this sense of self. Without giving up the sense of self, we cannot become stream enterer. So, if we are not mindful we do not apply mindfulness and wisdom when there is pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, we are going backward rather than progressing. So this is how the feeling aggregate should be investigated, should be regarded. And how should it be seen with insight? It should be seen with insight as impermanent. This is very clear, easy to, for example, somebody praise you, you feel very pleasant. Then after some time, that pleasant feeling passed away. So it has its nature of impermanent. But for a non-practitioner, you know, somebody praise you, you feel happy. Maybe for 1 hour, pleasant feeling, 2 hours, 3 hours. The more you cling to that pleasant feeling, the more you cannot see it's passing away because your mind is grasping at it. When you grasp at it, how can you see it's impermanent? So, as a practitioner, whenever you have pleasant feeling, just know it is pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling has arisen in my mind, it's impermanent. Then let go of it. Then very fast you can understand and you can see it's arising and passing away. All feelings have their nature of arising and passing away, but why we cannot see clearly the impermanence of all feelings? Why?
Because we cling.
Right. Because of our grasping. Unpleasant? Same. All feelings are the same. Unpleasant feeling, we also grasp the unpleasant feeling as myself. Pleasant feeling, we cling to it or grasp it to be permanent because it's so pleasant. But unpleasant feeling, we want it to pass away very fast. We still class it as myself, my unpleasant feeling. Different aspect of grasping. You see it? When unpleasant feeling come, everybody want the unpleasant feeling to pass away very fast. You want it to pass away very fast, it's also a sense of self. Feeling arise and pass away according to cause and effect, not according to what you want. If you want it to pass away very fast, it's also a sense of self. So that is called grasping on the self. But pleasant feeling, you grasp both. You grasp it with craving, and you want it to be permanent. And you also grasp it to be self. So both are grasping. Whether it's unpleasant or pleasant. So in order to let go that grasping only hurt oneself, we have to contemplate it as impermanent. Whatever pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling, you contemplate it as impermanent, not a self, just cause and effect. Because of abusive word, then unpleasant feeling arises. Abusive word is cause, unpleasant feeling as effect. Regard it as a process of cause and effect. That's all. Then let go of it. So this is how the feeling should be regarded. This is how the feeling should be investigated according to cause and effect.
So let's say when we're down.
When we're down. Okay. Yes, right.
So it will go away.
Yes.
So don't get yourself so down.
Yes.
Depressed,
right.
And try to do something positive, because this unpleasant feeling will
Yes, you don't have to do anything. But if you know, even though you contemplate it as impermanent, not a self, and it's still there, very strong, you, because some people's inside knowledge may not be so good. Even though he contemplate, but it still cannot pass away. Maybe you can do something positive to let it pass away. But for a insight meditator who advanced insight meditator, it just contemplate the unpleasant feeling or doubt or the depression, disappointment as impermanent. Don't cling to it as I feel oppressive, I feel disappointed. Don't cling to it. Don't identify that unpleasant feeling as myself. It should pass away very fast. You just look at it at a dispassionate way. Don't bring that unpleasant feeling to your heart and think it as my unpleasant feeling. If you do like that, that unpleasant feeling become multiply, worse, and it takes long time to dissolve. This way of practice is better take medication from the doctor. I have one student who has strong depression. You know, when she talked to me, I can feel her unhappiness. I've talked to her short time only, I think half an hour. Then I asked her to come for my retreat, 4 days retreat. After retreat, her face expression changed to a very happy one. She told me she's going to stop the medication. So I only give her half an hour conversation and ask her to join my retreat for 4 days. She almost cured from her depression. So how meditation can heal one's wound or one's sickness, both mind and body, is very clearly can be seen through her. Not only her, no, some other people have different type of sickness, also can be cured by the meditation. As long as you know how to apply what you have learned. Like today I share with you all this, I think it's very valuable knowledge. But if you forget when you go back, then no one can save you. No one can help you. Okay, so come back to feeling aggregate. The unpleasant feeling, pleasant feeling should be investigated according to cause and effect. So what's the cause of the feelings? Contact. Eye contact. When you see something beautiful, pleasant feeling. When you see your enemy, unpleasant feeling. So ear contact. Also, you feel sweet word, then pleasant feeling arise in you. When you hear abusive word, then unpleasant feeling arise in you. So feeling arise depend on contact. And we have 6 objects, of course, then we have 6 types of contact. Ear contact, eye contact, nose contact, tongue contact. When you taste something delicious, pleasant feeling arises. When you taste something not delicious, unpleasant feeling arises. And body contact, when you sit long 1 hour, your cushion become hard like rock, then unpleasant feeling start to arise. Then when you first sit very soft, pleasant feeling. So pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling arise depend on the causes. It almost beyond your control. Even Arahant, the fully liberated one, has unpleasant feeling and pleasant feeling. But they do not react with craving, with pleasant feeling. They do not react with aversion towards unpleasant feeling. This is the difference between Arahant and us. This is the difference. Okay. So, 6 contact. When you think of something fantasy, then pleasant feeling arises in you. Mental object, we call mental object. So we have mental contact. That mental contact depends on the mental contact. Then pleasant or unpleasant, or neither unpleasant nor pleasant feeling will arise in you. And as a Vipassana meditator, you must be mindful and contemplate anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, and non-self anatta of that feeling. This is called Vipassana practitioner. Okay. So we have covered two already, form aggregate and feeling aggregate. I think we should stop here. Any question? No question? Okay.
Doing the scan for the elements. You said you were going to talk about that on Wednesday morning.
Monday. We end maybe Tuesday morning. We end at Wednesday, Tuesday morning.
Okay. So, so when one does that scan, does one choose one of them, like hardness, and then go through, or you go through the body and identify whatever shows up, whether it's wind or softness or heavy or okay?
You want to practice now, or you want to practice on Tuesday? If you practice,
well, no, I thought you said we were going to be doing concentration for the first few days that we might be doing.
So I better let you know when we reach. If not, you might have more discursive thinking when when you sit. Okay, join me.
So remember you were talking before about eating.
Eating, yes.
And feeling the different elements of the food. There's also the taste.
Yes.
Sweet, sour. Now those aren't part of the form.
Yes.
What would they be classified under?
Okay. So form, we have four elements are primary form. We have derived materiality. Arise depend on the four elements. For example, eye. Eye is called derived materiality. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, sound, taste, smell are all called derived materiality. Yes. So this taste is under the category of derived materiality. It's also form. Okay, no more? Yes.
Did you, which one of the 11 forms is this the four elements go under? Is it external, internal, gross,
subtle? 11?
You give us the 11 form aggregate, the 11 types. Past, present, future. The four elements, which one do they belong to?
No, all four elements are all 11. Four element is ultimate truth. Conventional truth we call form. So this form we have 11, internal form, external form, pleasant form, unpleasant form. Four elements, internal, external, past four element, future four element, and so on. Form and four elements are the same meaning. Form is conventional truth. Four element is ultimate truth. As a Vipassana, we discern ultimate truth, not conventional truth. Yes?
So, I guess I'm a little unclear on future form. I'm guessing that's not imagination of future form. That would be something different. That would be...
It's not imagining. Referent knowledge. Different knowledge. How to call it in English? Is it different knowledge?
Inference.
Yes, inference knowledge. Using inference knowledge, not imagining.
Inference?
By inference. By inference.
explore that a tiny bit. I'm not sure what the difference between inference and imagination
is. Okay.
It seems to me that imagine inference is just a little more rigorous or structured form of imagination, the way I think of it. So I don't see that there's a lot of difference between those.
They say future from now, I'm here. I'm here, why? Because in the past, my ignorance and craving that bring forth now, I'm here. I'm here is only a vipaka, a resultant of my past ignorance and craving. As long as my craving and ignorance are not eradicated in this present life, I'm sure to have future form again. My future form may be in heaven, in human, or in hell, or as a hungry ghost. So I can, based on my knowledge now, that inference knowledge comes. This is not imagining.
Okay.
Okay, that's all for today. Sadhu. I think you can go and have a walk until 10:30, until 10:30, and come back here. Very hot.